TrippelTex et fleksibelt regnskapsprogram som passer perfekt for håndverkere.
Og IT-selskaper.
Og feskebåter.
Og rideskoler.
Og rørleggere.
Og så passer TrippelTex for regnskapsbyråer.
Og make-up-artister og stylister.
Og legekontorer. Da kommer det et lite stikk.
Og så selvfølgelig for eiendomsmeglere da.
Ja, du har sikkert skjønt det nå, at alle slags små og store bedrifter får det de trenger hos TrippelTex, hele Norges regnskapsprogram. Prøv gratis på TrippelTex.no.
En podcast fra Podplay.
Do you still party on tour?
Never partied on tour. That's probably why we're still here.
Gammel Maiden.
Heisan, kjære du som hører på Gammel Maiden, kanskje for første gang, kanskje fast lytter. I snart 6 år. Det jo helt vilt. Nå det fredagskveld, og jeg kjenner at feberen har tatt meg her. Begynner å brøgge på noe influensa, tenker jeg. Men det har vært flyttet på så mange ganger det intervjuet her, at nå gjør jeg det bare. Praten med Danko Jones, som sikkert sett klar akkurat nå. I Kanada da, i Toronto. Så der er det sikkert fredagsformiddag akkurat nå. Og det her er en kar jeg har følt med i mange år. Digga de første albumene, og så har det kanskje dabba litt av, men fy flate, han står på, så gjør det samme om og om og om igjen. Lage album, ut på turnene, kjempe seg fram. Danko Jones, så en kar jeg har utrolig stor respekt for. Og så jeg litt spent på hvilken type han er. Er jo veldig sånn partyrock, det han holder på med. Veldig sånn macho. Er han sånn, eller er han en festus? Vi får se. Jeg og du, nå skal vi få kose deg med en litt febersjuk Torsvik og en forhåpentligvis hyggelig kanadier ved navn, ja, eller kalle navnet hans er i hvert fall Danko Jones. Kos deg!
Gammel Maiden med Torkel Torsvik.
Hello.
Hey man, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Let's start. How much time do we have?
We have half an hour till 12 or till 6 your time.
Ah, perfect. So, yeah. Danko Jones, welcome to Radio Rock and the podcast Gammal Maiden. It's about your inspirations and how you got where you are today after 11 albums, and now the number 12 is coming. So does it still feel like a rush to have done a record and you're going on tour again?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The rush is still there, of course, or we wouldn't be doing it. You know, I think if there's no interest or you don't feel energized by it, I think that's the universe telling you to do something else. So yeah, I still feel, of course, it'll never be as exciting as the very first time we put something out, you know, like it never matches that. But over the years, it's taken a different kind of turn, you know, with each successive record, you enter into a new place, like a new, you know, that something nobody's ever done, you know.
Yeah.
So like we're at a point where it's like album number 12. Well, not too many bands get to album number 12. So, you know, that's new in it, unto itself, you know. So,
I have so much respect for everything you've done since I think we bought in my band to have in our van in 2002. We bought Born a Lion, and we used what song was it? If you're gonna do it right.
Lover Call. Yeah,
Lover
yeah.
Call. We used it as an intro song for our band. So it was that was good times. What do you think have happened since then? Because in your press release, you say that life is like writing more songs to play more gigs. And that's it sounds like the same life as you had 20 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's what we've been doing. And there's no reason to change what isn't broken or what we don't want to do. So we're going to keep doing it that same way. And if the music industry allows us, if technology allows us, we're going to pretty much keep doing this until we can't or until we die.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Like, what's a better job? I don't see any other job that's better than putting out records and going on tour. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of going on tour, but I still am the biggest fan of playing the shows.
Yeah. So then there's a lot of waiting and driving and that part you don't like.
Nah, I don't mind the driving. I mind the time away from home. So that's the part that I don't like. But the show is the show. I mean, that's what I live for. So,
yeah.
And that happens, you know, every night on tour. So that's great.
Yeah. And I guess you're still here. I guess we've seen a lot of rockers quitting because of drinking, too much partying, and then you ruin everything in your band. But you still make music, like the song Every Day is Saturday Night. It's like a huge party song. So do you still party on tour?
Never partied on tour. That's probably why we're still here.
Yeah.
So the question of still party, never party. In terms of like drinking, heavy drinking and heavy drug taking and what have you, never did. And it's two reasons. I didn't really grow up like that. And number two is a practical reason is if you do that, I just don't have a voice to sing. So that's a very practical reason why, as a singer, you just don't do it. Mm. But of course, you know, there's people when they're younger, they want to live up to some sort of stereotype that they've been sold. And that's fine and dandy. But what ends up happening is your band ends up not existing anymore, or you put out crap, or you perform terribly. And I just never could accept that. So I refused. Like, there's been more nights where I've missed some sort of hilarious incident or once in a lifetime moment than I've experienced because of my insistence on, you know, not quote unquote partying.
Yeah.
And it's funny too, because it puzzles people. People don't understand that. It's what's there to not understand? I'm 100% not going following a stereotype, which is the true essence of rock and roll, which punk rock back in the day had to remind rock and roll what it's all about. So you know, it's to go against the grain, and in a rock and roll situation, it's to not party. I've always been more prone to being a contrarian than not. So I have no problems not doing any of the, what do you call it? Cliches or the things you're supposed to do or expected to do in rock and roll. I have no problem not doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like it when people tell me what I should be doing, because that informs me as to what I should not be doing.
So what do you do when you get these, come on, it's a huge party, come on, only a couple of beers.
Right. Right. So you brought up Every Day is Saturday Night as a party anthem. And that's actually where that song is birthed from lyrically, is when I'm home, I don't really like to go out, because every night on tour is a Saturday night, is a Friday night. And I've actually said that line to people who have said, hey, why don't you come out? I'm like, I can't. Like, I just got off tour. Like, every night has been a Saturday night for me. I need some time off. So and it's a great line to have and to use for a rock song. But when you listen to the song, it sounds like a party song. But in reality, the lyrics are from the moment where I don't want a party. But it sounds great. I'm not gonna change anyone's interpretation of it or anyone's use of it. Do with it what you want. It's out there in the world for people to listen to and interpret any way they want. But that is actually where that line comes from. Mm-hmm. It is from a moment where I don't want to do anything rather than go out and party.
It's a really good album. I've got it to listen, and I think Diamond in the Rough is the favorite so far. And I heard Marty Friedman is on that song. Do you know him? How did you get him as a guest?
I didn't know. I just said, hey. No. We've known Marty for like, I don't know, 15 years. I was on his album in 2014, Inferno. I sang on three songs and hadn't asked him to kind of, you know, like reciprocate, you know, on our album until this album, because there wasn't a song that we felt like, oh yeah, this is definitely Marty Friedman. But this one definitely called for him. It's like very early Kiss-esque. And I know Marty's favorite two bands are Kiss and the Ramones. So I knew he could like really get into the song that way. And luckily he was into it, and he said, yeah. And that's how he's on the album. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the bands you mentioned there, because I like to know or hear the stories about how people became interested in rock music. And for me, it was Iron Maiden in around 1990, actually. So I always ask, can you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden?
The first time I heard Iron Maiden was probably... Yeah, on TV on a commercial for a compilation album, and I think it was either Run to the Hills or Number of the Beast, but something off Number of the Beast. And there was a clip of the video, as there was for all the other songs on the album, whatever it was. I don't even remember the compilation album they were selling on TV. But the first like Iron Maiden record that I bought is probably my favorite Iron Maiden album, which is Power Slave. Like I listened to that. I've heard that album a lot. It's Iron Maiden is my favorite band, but that album is like one of my favorite albums, which is weird because they're not one of my favorite bands. Although I like all the stuff all the way up to Somewhere in Time. Like all the Maiden records all the way up to Somewhere in Time are amazing. And I can listen to it if you put it on, but they're not even my favorite band or even in the top 10 or 20. But if you were to put like, you know, like for example, Beatles versus Rolling Stones, you know, I would choose the Stones. So if you say Iron Maiden or Judas Priest, I would say Judas Priest. So.
Yeah, I see. I've got 260 guests now, and a lot of them, yeah, I don't like Maiden, but they've heard it, they've seen them, so a lot of people have some kind of relationship with them. But what's your first shock or experience where you just knew that this is the thing I have to do the rest of my life?
Well, I don't know if it was that kind of memory or realization, but I mean, there has been moments in my life where I've gone like, yeah, I wish I could do this too.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think, you know, I got into rock music when I was 6 years old, when my mom bought me my first Kiss album. And I joined the Kiss Army when I was six. So that's a big moment. And I joined because I wrote a letter into the Kiss Army. My mom sent it. And then I got a package in the mail from Kiss, which made me a fan for life. And I was 6 years old. I was in grade one. But then, later on, I got into hard rock and heavy metal, and then I got into punk rock. And punk rock was definitely a doorway into the idea that I could do it. And finding out about the Ramones, listening to the Ramones when I was 15 years old, I was like, I could play this. I could play this. So that, and which is the very essence of punk rock. So maybe it's the Ramones, yeah, I would chalk it up to the Ramones and getting into the Misfits too. Those two bands are definitely foundational in terms of mustering up the nerve to pick up a guitar and play.
You must have the best mother in the world. She bought you a Kiss album when you were 6 years old.
Well, here's the thing is I was bugging her to the point where she just got got exasperated, and she just said, "Okay, look, just pick one album. You get one album." And I knew that was it forever. So I picked Kiss Alive because it was the thickest, and it had two. You got two records for one. Although I would have rather have picked a cover that had more of a comic book, because I loved comic books, a more of a superhero comic book cover. I picked that one because there was two, and there was a booklet. And then I don't know how long it took, maybe a month, maybe 2 weeks. You can't remember when you're six. But eventually, I listened to that album so much, my parents got so worried that my dad broke it over his knee and threw it in the garbage, which was also what made me a fan for life. They didn't realize that. That made me a fan for life more than getting the mail. So yeah, that was actually the moment my dad broke the record over his knee. I'll never forget it. That was probably one of the moments where I was like, I got to do this. Didn't know how. I just wanted to do it. Didn't know how, but and my the rest of my life, now that I could say it, the rest of my life was in doing this band was maybe subconsciously or underlining reason to prove my father wrong. Because they never acclimated to what I did or what I liked. So it was a life, it's been a lifelong journey of kind of trying to get validation from my parents and never really achieving it through music. So, and in a way, that's what I used as my engine to keep doing this.
So I grew up in the countryside in Norway. No big bands came there to play, so I was a grown up when I saw my heroes for the first time. Did you get to see like Kiss or other bands when you were a kid?
No, I only saw Kiss on the Psycho Circus tour. And I don't know why. I think it was like when I was into Kiss when I was in grade school, and then I got into punk rock and metal, and then Kiss weren't cool and I didn't listen to Kiss. So it was only when I was, funnily enough, broke and I was working at a record store and Kiss were playing that night. And I had my shift to do, and I think I was off at 8 or 9 o'clock, or no, it couldn't have been 8 or 9 because that's when the show ended. But anyways, maybe it was at 5 or 6, I think. It had to be because these kids came into the store and I was working the cash and I was just ringing up records. And they said, "What are we going to do with this extra Kiss ticket?" And I didn't know who these people were. And I said, "I'll buy it. I'll buy it off you." And they were from out of town and they were staying at a hotel that was maybe 5 blocks away from the record store because I work downtown. So after work, I went straight to their hotel room. I didn't even know these people. I went and I gave them the money. They could have like jumped me and like beat me up. I didn't know them. They gave me the money. And of course, I watched the show beside these people. I didn't even know where they were. We didn't really talk. I just by myself. I got there late because I think I went home and came back. I got there late. They started the show with Psycho Circus. They were playing Psycho Circus as I was finding my seat. But after that, they kicked into Deuce. And that's the first song off of Kiss Alive, the first Kiss record I got.
Yeah.
So I was by myself. It's dark. Nobody's looking at me. Everyone's looking at the stage. And I just started crying like a baby because this is my favorite band and I'm watching them. And yeah, you know, I'm working at this store. I'm completely broke, but I mustered up enough dough to give them for the ticket. So yeah, it was great. That was such a huge kind of full circle moment for me.
Yeah. I also got this song in every Maiden concert, I start crying. And that's Rime of the Ancient Mariner from Power
Slave. Do they play that live?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do that now on, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Almost
that's
every
tour.
That's
a long fucking song.
Yeah,
it's a
yeah.
long song, man.
I saw you before Maiden in Trondheim, actually, this summer. So, so
Trondheim rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you didn't see Maiden after that gig?
No, because we had to catch a, where were we going? We had to catch our a plane to the next gig, which was unfortunate, like missed out on that. But JC was able to get some wristbands, Steve Harris wristbands, and I got a Dave Murray wristband. So that was really cool.
Nice. So that was really if I ask you to pick one Maiden song, yeah, you're a punk rocker, maybe some early stuff, or what would it be?
Oh, it would be off of Power Slave.
Okay.
Yeah. It would probably be Aces High or 2 Minutes to Midnight. Rime of the Ancient Mariner, yeah, that's like one of my favorite songs of all time. but I think I just love the opening riff to 2 Minutes. I mean, now that you've jogged my memory, I mean, I think maybe, no, I would stick with Power Slave, maybe Peace of Mind, like Flight of Icarus or Somewhere in Time's got Heaven Can Wait. I like that song too. So, but I would stick with Power Slave.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm chatting about Maiden with every guest there, but I think you and like Bruce Dickinson, Steve Harris, I think you have the same blood or the same professional way to be a rocker, because Bruce Dickinson, he couldn't do what he does if he was like a party guy on backstage. And
so, no, he can't. Yeah. It's especially now that he's older. But even when he was in his prime, like, there's no way you can hit those notes for that long a time, that consecutively over weeks and months, and still be able to drink and to excess.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. I think even having a beer before you go on stage would destroy the show for his voice. But that's, you know, I don't think he would do that. I think Bruce would, if he was to drink, I don't think he would drink beer. He would drink like liquor. I just don't, it's just not good for your voice.
Oh, he drinks water. I saw on, I also had him as a guest here, and he drinks water, and he almost doesn't warm up his voice. Some singers has to do that, but do you do that before a concert?
Yeah, I warm up my voice. I don't think it's good for me to go like cold the way I sing, because the first song usually off in our sets are, it's like really barky.
Yeah.
I think Bruce has the luxury where he can kind of slowly get louder as the song or the show progresses, but we have opening cuts that are meant to grab the audience's attention via vocals. So yeah, I need to have my voice warmed up.
Mm-hmm. And do you mostly go by plane, or do you have a tour bus when you go in Europe when you're coming over now?
Yeah, it'll be mostly by bus. We're in a tour bus. Yeah.
Because I guess enough sleep and those things are important too.
Yeah, like it's you know, they're long drives and you're cramped in this tour bus. But what it gives you is, yeah, the ability to go to sleep. whenever you want and for how long you want, usually. That's the trade-off there.
Yeah.
And as the tour progresses, you get used to your bunk, and so your body isn't always changing hotel rooms, because a lot of times I can sleep better on a bus than I can in a hotel.
Mm. Do you also, like many others, write music during touring? Because
no,
there are a lot of time off, I guess, when you come to a new place. Do you go sightseeing instead?
No, I don't go sightseeing because I'm not on vacation. I'm not a tourist. I'm working.
Yeah.
That anyone who does that is really not taking the job of music seriously. I don't do this because it's my job. I don't do this because it's a hobby. And if it is a hobby, then I've been unemployed for over 25 years.
So how do you write music now? I read somewhere that your bass player played
lives
his
in Finland.
He lives in Finland, and he played his parts in Finland, and you are in Canada.
Yeah, and our drummer lives on the other side of Canada, on the East Coast,
okay,
at Prince Edward Island. So we're not in the same city anymore. But luckily, you know, through files, we send files to each other, and we're able to demo the songs, and we can hear it. We've been doing that for the last three albums, so it works. And so, yeah, I don't write on tour. I write when, you know, I'm told that we got to start writing a new record.
Okay.
That's when I start. And I don't write on the road, even if it's, you know, during the time of songwriting. It doesn't suit me. I can't do it. I've got my, when I'm on tour, I'm thinking about the show that I have to play, not about the album that I want to write.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow. I'm really curious. What brought the bassist to Finland?
Oh, well, that's his personal life. I mean, I don't know how much I can get into it, but he lives there now and he's quite happy. He's been there since 2022.
It's a great country, so I can understand. Yeah.
Yeah. He's very happy living there. So
yeah.
It's a better place to live than here in Toronto. Trust me on that.
So, you're born in 72. I guess you were 10 when the Number of the Beast came, but then you listened to punk rock mostly. What did you listen to in the 80s? Because the music went like haywire with all the hair metal and stuff. What did you like in the 80s?
How do you know my birth date?
I don't have your date, but I think internet told me that you're born in like 72 or something, 6 years before me.
Well, that's a.
Is a it good wrong? Guess. Maybe.
The internet is so wrong. I was just like, what? But it's good that you're kind of in the area. But
okay.
What did I think of glam rock?
Yeah, but what did you listen to in the 80s when all that glam was going on? And
yeah, I love all that stuff, but I also listen to thrash metal and glam rock and punk rock. I mean, I've never really identified as anything more than like I was a metal kid and then I got into punk rock. But it doesn't mean that I can only listen to this kind of music. I know people do that with themselves. I think they feel some sort of, they have to have allegiance to a music or something. It's part of their identity.
Yeah.
But not for me. I bounced around. Like I listen to a lot of rap music and thrash metal and punk rock and you know, the glam stuff was good when it was good. I didn't listen to a lot of it as much as there was out there, but I was exposed to a lot of it because that's what everybody wanted to hear, or that's what was playing on video music stations on TV. So, you know, but there's some really good, I still like a lot of those glam bands that I don't know, I guess they're not as well known as Poison or or Motley Crue, there's like a lot of other bands like Bang Tango, and the first Cinderella album is incredible.
TrippelTex er et fleksibelt regnskapsprogram som passer perfekt for nettbutikker.
Og søvebønder.
Og kiropraktere.
Og maskinutleire.
Og advokater.
Ja, TrippelTex passer veldig bra for alarmselskaper.
Og regnskapsførere, selvfølgelig.
Og begravelsesbyråer. Kondolerer.
Og selvfølgelig elektriker.
Ja, du har sikkert skjønt det nå, at alle slags små og store bedrifter får det de trenger hos TrippelTex, hele Norges regnskapsprogram. Prøv gratis på TrippelTex.no.
You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not. And you're listening to Gamal Maiden.
Yeah, stuff like that. You have to jog my memory as to what the bands are, and I could tell you what I think of them. But there's tons of them. Tons and tons and tons of them. But, I mean, I never made any distinction. I mean, if push comes to shove, yeah, I would choose like thrash metal and punk rock over any of that stuff. But it didn't mean that I dismissed it or like a lot of people were.
When I was 14, you had to choose between Maiden or Metallica or Guns N' Roses or grunge. So so
really?
It was like a part of your identity. And a couple of years later, we went all over the place and listened to everything.
Yeah, it sounds very stifling. And it's almost these boundaries people are putting on you or sound like they just want to be cops.
Yeah, I know. I don't do that anymore, luckily. So, but I see on my watch we have like 1 minute left. So,
oh shit! Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's been so nice talking to you. And what will happen with Danko Jones the next year after touring? New album, new tour. Will you carry on forever?
That's my answer. Your answer. Your question was my answer.
That's your answer. You will just continue till you drop.
That's the plan. Yeah. Why not? What else is there to do? I want to do this. If I was doing something else, I would. And you asked me, what do you want to do? I'd say I want to do what I'm doing right now, currently. So why fix something that isn't broken?
Nice said. So thank you so much, and congratulations with the Leo Rising. And have a nice trip on tour. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. See you, man.
Have a nice evening. No, it's daytime for you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik. En podcast fra Radio Rock.
Ja, for en trivelig, nydelig type. Danko Jones, der han, ja, på videoskjermen her, hadde en veldig glatt hud, synes jeg. La merke til det. Og så vil han jo ikke at vi skal veste hvor gammel han for det var litt sånn vanskelig å finne sånn informasjon på internettet. Og så hørte vi jo her at han ble litt sånn indignert da, når jeg har vært og grevd litt etter fødselsåret hans og bursdagen hans. Den skal han i hvert fall ikke veste, vi veste hva er. Nei, det, akkurat det var litt spesielt. Og for en 140% professionell fyr som aldri feste på turné. Tror vi på det da? Med den musikken der. Da jeg begynte å høre på Danko Jones, så var det jækla mye drekking her i gården i hvert fall. Så, men det kan godt hende at det stemmer at han faktisk aldri har festet noe særlig på turné da, for å bevare stemmen og den slags sånne ting som jeg selv burde ha tenkt mye mer på. Og det er jo derfor jeg sitter her og prater om musikk mens han er ute og spiller muligens, jeg vet da, farsken. Men herlig fyr, og for noe gode historier fra barndommen med Kiss og alt som skjedde på den tida. En pappa som knuser vinylplater, det var ikke helt bra da. Har du unga, ikke ødelegg rockeplater deres, men det vet jo du som hører på Gammal Maiden. Tusen takk for at du gjør det. Hvis det mulig å like og den slags, eller ja, gi en liten sånn karakterscore inn på Spotify og Apple og sånne plasser, så gjør gjerne det, for det, der går det litt tregt. Det synes jeg ikke dere Gammal Maiden-fans er noe særlig flink, altså. Jeg må ærlig innrømme det. Liksom 130. De, som har gitt meg en karakter på Spotify, det for dårlig. Skjerpings, folkens, så kommer det en ny episode på mandagen, jeg lover, og den må du høre. Bare sånn, mellom oss to da, vi som har vært med såpass langt ute i episoden her, det Sola Jonsen fra Dum Dum Boys. Fy flate for en episode, for en pratmaker og for noen historier han har fra den tiden han var på Sex Pistols-konsert på Samfunnet i Trondheim, og, ja, og hele oppbyggingen av musikkmiljøet på, i Trondheim da, på 70- og 80-tallet. Det kjempeinteressant å føre for et fyrverkeri av en fyr, Sola Jonsen, i neste episode. Glede til den. Og takk for at du hører på.
Du har hørt en podcast fra Podplay. En enklere måte å høre podcast på. Last ned appen Podplay, eller se podplay.no.
TrippelTex er et fleksibelt regnskapsprogram som passer perfekt for IT-selskaper.
Ja, og restauranter.
Og hundefrisører.
Ja, kom da.
Og alpinanlegg.
Og barnehager.
Og klesbutikker.
TrippelTex er veldig bra for nettbutikker.
Og urmakere.
Og kaffebarer. Ja, det var en dobbel latte på soja.
Og selvfølgelig bilforhandlere.
Ja, du har sikkert skjønt det nå, at alle slags små og store bedrifter får det de trenger hos TrippelTex, hele Norges regnskapsprogram. Prøv gratis på TrippelTex.no.